Kim Cattrall is perhaps most famous for her role as Samantha Jones on Sex and the City, but the accomplished stage and film actress has made many memorable appearances everywhere from The Simpsons to London's West End. And her newest project showcases a different side of her.
They want to pay me $3,000. That's a lot more than I got in the 70s. I mean, some of those early ones. All I got was $50 and a case of the crabs.
Is the crabs thing still part of your contract?
The film, which opens today in limited release, is called Meet Monica Velour. It follows the relationship between an aging 1970s porn star, played by Cattrall, and the teenage boy who's obsessed with her. The film is written and directed by Keith Bearden. Both Kim and Keith join us in the studio. Good morning. You know, Kim, this is Keith's first feature film, and that can be a little bit scary. How did he convince you to do this film?
Well, the first big convince was reading the script. I read it, and I thought, wow, this is a feminist movie wrapped up in a Hollywood fable of a porn star who is saved by this skinny, six-foot-something geek of a white knight. And then I called the agent and said, can you set up like a drink or something? So we went to this little Thai place. I was early and a little nervous, and in walked Keith. And we talked a little bit about the movie, and we talked about his vision of it and how it was based on two or three women who had affected his life, specifically when he first came to New York. And I had just so many questions. I just thought, well, why does she do this? And what is in the concoction of this? And how does that work? And how did she go from here to there? And backstory and all of this. And Keith was so informed. And he wasn't threatened by any of these questions. We had a terrific time.
Yeah, well, then Keith, let me ask you. I mean, there are a lot of movies out there, not just about porn stars, but about aging porn stars. That's a story that we've heard before. And I'm wondering, why choose the porn star?
I really started to think a few years ago about the incredible amount of sexualized images of women that young people are really being exposed to. What happens when that's all somebody knows of a woman, you know, a young man? And also, on the other hand, you know, sexuality is such an important part of the way Americans judge women. Desirability, how they look. Yet we have this weird sort of arbitrary expiration date we stamp on women that after a certain age, it's not important anymore, or we don't consider them desirable, which is just nonsense. So what happens when you have someone who's all her self-worth is as a sexualized person, and then we decide she's not sexual anymore? So what does she have? Where's her dignity? Where's her identity? And you combine that with a kid who doesn't know anything about real women, anything about their desires, their personalities. What comes with that fantasy, you know, fantasy meeting reality, male fantasy versus female reality? That's where the movie came from. And, you know, the porn star aspect was just a way to sort of create an extreme, you know, to create a larger, clearer metaphor.
You know, Kim, I have to confess to you that my son has pretty much had a crush on you since kindergarten, because he thinks that Big Trouble in Little China is one of the great films ever made. And, you know, he's 12. He's grown up in a very different idea of women than, say, you or I or Keith, than we grew up in. And you have been a part of that. I mean, I wonder if you see what your role is in terms of the woman as a feminist or sexual object.
Well, you know, for me as an actor, I started out being a theater rat, and that's all I really wanted to do. I never really considered the movies that I did to take that as seriously as the roles that I wanted to do in the theater. I remember when I got Big Trouble in Little China, I was doing Three Sisters at the Los Angeles Theater Center. Yeah, playing Masha, which was one of the most amazing roles for an actress in her, you know, middle 20s, early 30s to play. So, you know, for me, I didn't have a real consciousness about these kind of roles and what they were, other than a means to an end to do what I really wanted to do, which was theater. And then the accumulation of it, you know, when you look at my theater credits and you look at my film credits.
Yeah, they're very different.
You think, is this the same actor? And then the amazing thing about Sex and the City and now my career is that people now come to the theater to see me because they know me from movies and television. So it's kind of balanced itself out in some strange way, yes.
You were one of the last contract players at Universal.
Yes, I was.
You and two others?
Yes, I was. The last contract players that I was with were Sharon Gless and Jamie Lee Curtis, the three of us,
and,
the three Musketeers.
Among the three of you, yours is, at this point, in this point in time, Sharon Gless, I haven't seen her in something in a very, very long time, and Jamie Lee Curtis, although she's working, is not working regularly. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, I think part of it is, you know, I know Jamie had children, and Sharon's a little bit older than us, and I think something, you know, like Sex and the City and other shows where they have women who are aging and getting older, we've pushed back the barrier. I mean, when I took Sex and the City at 41, I was nervous that I would be able to pull it off in people's eyes of being this crazy sexual being, you know, this freedom, this sort of song from the 60s that was being replayed. And we changed that. Now 40 is, you know, considered, oh, well, you still got something going on. But I think 10, 15 years ago, 40 was, oh, it's over, and 50 was definitely over. Now we're pushing those boundaries back, thankfully. But there's still more work to do. And I think I was a very lucky recipient of that time warp that happened and have continued to stretch that barrier.
Keith, I'm wondering if there were there were portions of the script that had to change when you cast Kim in the lead role.
Well, you know, the nice thing about working with Kim was that we kind of had a blank slate. You know, I'd never made a film before, and I knew her 80s films, but I'd never seen Sex and the City, so I had no preconceived ideas of her as a performer. So we kind of approached it as real equals. But, you know, Kim's real valuable contribution was about perspective. I mean, one of my strongest memories is her calling me when I was in pre-production in Michigan and saying, you know, I reread the script again, and this is really a love story. Are you going to shoot it this way? And I was like, you know, the movie's about a lot of things, and the movie's a comedy, and the movie's a drama, and the movie has a political side. But yeah, that really stuck in my mind. She's like, it's really an oddball love story, and that has to come through. And I was like, yeah, sure, it will.
Keith Bearden, director of the new film Meet Monica Velour, which stars Kim Cattrall. Thanks so much for coming in.